The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Easter Monday edition. The Electoral Eve edition, the opening day Eve edition, and of course, Trump coming to Green Bay Eve edition of the Devil's Advocates. Welcome to the big show, Dom.
Curdy, good to see you, my friend. Rich, working the board. Thank you, sir. Of course, our audience, welcome to the Devil's Advocates. Thanks for joining the political party, man.
Well, it will be a happy hour. And then in the happier happy hour, we've got the Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler joining us at 5:05 today, so stick around for that. But Tom, I said to you, you know, Trump was on the Righty Whitey talk radio show with Dan O'Donnell this morning, Milwaukee and right here in Madison. I heard him playing on the radio, and you said, did I know about it? I already posted about it. Trump has already been politifacted. Pants on fire for a statement.
Pants on fire, man. Not even false. Not half true. Pants on fire.
I was just comparing that with a mostly true politifact of Scotty Wanker that I would have given a mostly false. But anyways, pants on fire. Very little doubt about the big fat liar that Dan O'Donnell interviewed earlier today and pushed back. Zilch. Not at all.
Zero. None. None. No pushback. A little on this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Hope Carnop, reporting on April 1st, the day before the Wisconsin presidential primary and Trump's first 2024 rally in the state. Trump appeared on WISN Dan O'Donnell's show, and he incorrectly said he won.
Whitey Righty talk radio for those, you know, uninformed of what the call signs might be.
Trump incorrectly said he won Wisconsin in 2020. He did win the state in 2016, but lost in 2020. Here's the Trump quote. We had a re-election a second time. We actually did much better than the first time. We won in Wisconsin, as you know, the first time. The second time, we did much better. Trump also falsely claimed that he won after quote-unquote wrongdoing was discovered in the 2020 election. Here's a quote. But I guess it was delayed. They found out a lot of wrongdoing. And after the wrongdoing was found, people said, well, he actually did win. And as Hope Carnop points out at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, O'Donnell, a conservative or whitey-righty talk radio host, did not push back on Trump's false claims that he won the state in 20 or that there was wrongdoing in the presidential election.
Push back? Hell, he was spinning those yarns, right? Yeah. Dan O'Donnell's been telling the big lie since about December of 2020. And I would say he's doing so for fun ratings and profits. You know, their ratings went way up when they stopped acknowledging that Joe Biden had fairly won the election in the state of Wisconsin. By January of, let's say, 2021, when Dan was all down for the insurrection, sent his in-laws off to D.C. that day, and of course, also personally gave testimony at the locked Wisconsin State Capitol as the only invited guest of Janelle Branchon, alleged felonious Wisconsin Assembly rep.
Campaign finance violator, Janelle Branchon.
Now, do you think Dan O'Donnell asked Trump at all about the alleged felonious campaign contributions here in the state of Wisconsin? I mean, you get 15 minutes with Trump this morning. Are you going to ask him the tough questions?
No, well, not of course if you're
Dan O'Donnell.
No, hell no. Those boots are not going to lick themselves, Crudy. And Dan O'Donnell was fluffing it up. And to think, and because Dan's not a dumb guy, Dan's a smart guy, but he wants to play along. You want to pacify the narcissist that is Donald Trump coming to town tomorrow. How do you not ask those very simple questions and very pertinent questions? Hey, what was this case of your campaign engaging in campaign violation of campaign finance violations when you're trying to oust the assembly leader here in Wisconsin, Robin Voss, giving money to his competitor and funneling it through various county Republican parties? Come on, man. What an embarrassment. I got to tell you. And you wonder why those that listen to people like Dan O'Donnell, well, there's lots of wrongdoing. Really? Really? What wrongdoing, Mr. Ex-President? Well, maybe articulate it. Well, drop boxes. Not a thing. Not a problem. All the people in the old folks' home, they were getting pressure. There were people forcing their votes. Well, no, not any proof of that.
Well, that's the specific lie that Dan O'Donnell testified to at the Assembly Elections Committee hearing, that he was the sole invitee. Let me tell you some stories I heard, and I got to protect everybody's names, so I can't give you anybody's names, anything you would perceive as actual evidence. But let me make some besmirching allegations with no evidence, and let me do so in a public forum. Hell, I'll do it on the radio each and every day. Then I'll have Trump on the big show day before the primary in the state of Wisconsin, and I will fail to ask him any pertinent questions. Here's the one interesting takeaway I had. Now that Dan's a big shot, now that Trump's been on Dan O'Donnell's show the day before the primary, well, Dan suddenly has got to make a road trip up to Green Bay, meet the old man in person, right? The Cheeto Messiah. I mean, if you're going to kiss his ass that much, if you're going to kiss the ring in the ass, you got to be there in person. But here's the really interesting part. Dan's going to bring his wife. He said he and the wife, Mrs. O'Donnell, are going up to meet the former president tomorrow night in Green Bay. And I hope, Dan, for your sake, he doesn't take her furniture shopping.
Terrible.
And it must have been his wife's family, because Dan O'Donnell did tell on January 6th the fact that his in-laws were at the scene of the insurrection. That must be his wife's family. And normally I don't bring up the wives and family unless it's yours, Don, but you know what I mean? Like, what's going on in that family?
Apparently it's something that's going on probably in lots of families across this country, unfortunately.
Do you think Trump will tic-tac up before he meets Mrs. O'Donnell?
I think Trump tic-tacs up all the time.
So do you find it interesting? Oh, here was the other takeaway, other than the fact that Dan's going to introduce his wife to Trump. Something I promise you, Mrs. Crudy, I would never do. Right. I would never leave you alone. I would never turn my back on the man. I wouldn't loan him $5. I wouldn't give him money for the parking meter. You know what I mean? Just certain things I wouldn't trust about this guy. He's sort of a unsavory character. I certainly.
Yeah, you think? Come on. How dare you talk like that about your former president, Michael?
Well, I certainly wouldn't take my wife down for a human sacrifice. 844-967-2789. The other takeaway I had from Whitey Righty Talk Radio host Dan O'Donnell's hosting of the former president about 9 o'clock this morning, Trump promised mass deportations. Dan seemed all down. You know, I'm not sure if it's constitutional, but why bother with that late hour?
You know, under what authority? Doesn't matter. I'm Trump. And that's really, I mean, if that were to be the case, who's going to milk the cows in the state of Wisconsin?
Mass deportations. Well, Dan O'Donnell, I mean, you could say he's gainfully employed. He's got a job. He spends that yarn on the radio each and every day, Dom. But if I had Trump on, you know, or if I had Joe Biden on, I'd have to ask Joe about Gaza policy. You know what I mean? I would ask Joe about pertinent, relevant events. I wouldn't just suck up to the man. I'd leave that for you, Dom.
Good luck for that.
Any more to add about Dan O'Donnell's exceptional morning with Donald
Trump? I mean,
Trump?
No, nothing more other than what a consistent and amazing disappointment. Always.
Dan
always.
Or Trump? First,
both. They're both in this thing together. White, the right wing talk radio environment is spewing this stuff out and lets the guy go out unchallenged and state these things as facts. And even Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and other audits of Wisconsin and recounts. Let's not forget about the recounts. We did recounts here in the state of Wisconsin, and whereby I believe Joe Biden ended up picking up a couple of more votes. But there's no mass fraud. That was not a thing. And they speak about it like this is a known commodity, that this is something that happens all the time, and we gotta do something about this election integrity. Well, yeah, how about stop, you know, besmirching it? How about stop lying about it? We got 1,800 different municipalities or clerks, you know, doing the elections here in the state of Wisconsin. How are you gonna have a massive fraud on that scale? Everybody's in on it, Dan. Trump, come on.
Well, it's the incapacitated voters at the nursing homes, Dom.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. You know, because it was a pandemic and you couldn't utilize the normal process, some people were probably misled, according to Dan, because their Trumpster kid said, well, my dad hasn't been cognizant since 1976. He surely wouldn't have voted for Trump or pardon me, Biden. And I'm thinking, well, the fact that he hasn't had mental capacity since 1976 is a pretty strong indicator he might have voted for Trump. And the accusations made aren't substantiated. Understand, just because your kids don't think you're bright or as smart as you used to be, and I know my kids think that about me. I know your kids think that about you.
Absolutely not.
But that does not mean that you lose the right to vote because your kids don't agree with your political decisions.
Yeah, right.
And just because someone helped them cast a ballot because they're elderly or infirm does not mean that they told them who to vote for. You know, that's mostly Republicans doing that. Dan, very clear that also you need to vote against, vote for the constitutional referendums.
According to right-wing talk radio, which means you should absolutely not.
You can't just do a simple legislative fix. You know, you got to change the Constitution. Because in other words, how are you going to keep the Zuckerbucks out and, you know, people working as poll workers that aren't assigned by a constitution to be poll workers? I mean, it's very slight logic. Any logic? I'm not sure that there's logic behind their avocations, Dan, but they're hoping to get the people out. And Dan also said he has had the largest get out the vote effort in Wisconsin's history on his radio show. And then Trump came out there and said, oh, people vote in all sorts of different ways, but, you know, he's still against the voting by mail. Undermining Dan's efforts. Dan, did you contradict him? You know you didn't, because you're an ass kiss. Come back. We'll never kiss your ass. We're the Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Monday to us all. Make sure you go and vote tomorrow, Election Day here in the state of Wisconsin. And you can call us on the lines 844-967-2789.
Dominic, getting messages from Microsoft, my inbox, nearly full. I've had this inbox since we've been doing the Devil's Advocates radio show. I very rarely ever delete anything. I'm not a big believer in deleting. It can just sit there in the world, but it's in the cloud somewhere, right? Why do I need to delete it? Well, apparently I need to delete some emails from my box, Dom, because it's getting full up and has not given me an option to buy more storage yet. So I keep looking for storage options because I do the easy thing. I spend a little bit of money.
Come on, memory's cheap these days.
But I've been going and purposefully deleting emails just to clear up some room, just so I don't get the messages every day from the Microsoft. And then I realized most of my emails are coming from the Trump campaign committee. I mean, literally a plurality of all my emails are coming from Donald Trump. And each and every one is begging me for money. Everyone. I mean, I'm getting 10, 12, 15 emails a day from Donald Trump asking me for money. And I got to tell you, Dom, I'm not one to read each and every email. But who in the hell is dipping in for 10, 12, 15 fundraising requests each and every day?
Every and, day, dude. It is off the chart. I again, you know, doing the show over these years, I've acquired multiple email addresses for, you know, multiple things. And one of them is specifically the one you probably sold to Donald Trump. We signed up for whatever. And that one particular email address, when I go in and just delete them off my main page, and I'm the same as you, Kurt. I don't delete them because never know when you want to search for something and have it in there. I'd rather have it all there. But I don't want it all on my main page. From Donald J. Trump, MAGA. Oh, it's just, it's nonstop. And at some point, you have to think that it becomes a little less effective.
Well, it's become a lot less effective for the Republicans. And the headline at the Washington Post, I just want to grab a little bit from this article, Dom, how Republicans texted and emailed their way into a money problem. Now, it used to be that Donald Trump was commanding with his small dollar donors. Yeah. Really, really well. If you look at 2019, raised over $100 million, I believe, from the small dollar donors. And had Biden not had the supermax sort of donors, he'd have had a hard time being competitive. But here's a statement from this article, Dom. A Republican small dollar fundraiser said this, a guy from Apex Strategies, John Hall. The biggest problem in the GOP fundraising is that we don't treat our donors well. Sending 8 emails and texts a day that promise an artificial match, threaten to take away your GOP membership, or call you a traitor if you don't donate, doesn't build a long-term relationship with donors. I have been getting these threatening emails each and every day multiple times, Dom. To the point, I got to clear out my email box just to clear out the Donald J. Trumps and the Make America Great Again and all the super PACs I'm getting from the Trump team and the fundraising totals.
And how much? And way off. Probably, obviously, there's hundreds and hundreds that I've received over the course of time here. How many of them have you actually, you know, used to donate money, Curdy?
I have never given a cent to a Republican candidate. I have rarely given a cent, because it's not just the Republicans, but at least the Democrats share my name up and down the river, man. I'm getting email requests from John Fetterman and, you know, far-flung candidates I maybe never heard of before. You know, they're right. Not Ruben all coming Gallego from Joe from
Arizona,
Biden.
You know, yeah, I get those as well, but not nearly to the volume that I get from the Donald Trump.
Well, certainly not to the volume. And I will tell you, the only money I ever gave direct, I think maybe the only money I ever gave directly to a candidate. Guess who I gave money to?
Ernie.
Jocasta Samaripa.
Oh, Jocasta.
She used to do a show. She kept asking, what was I going to do? Ignore her? So I gave some money to Jocasta's, I think it was Aldermatic campaign. You know, go check the public giving records. But here's the mistake I think I pointed out, Dom. I did get asked to give a number of public speeches and sometimes to Democratic organizations, you know, in partnership with the Democratic Party. And, you know, when you go to those events, they take your email and register you up. And if you're willing, you can give a $25 donation to the Democratic Party. That's the cost of membership, apparently, about 1 year. And I did like half a dozen of these things. And each time I went, you know, I gave like $25 to the local party.
Right.
I'm not feeling broke this week, you know, keep winning football money off of you. So I had some money to burn. So I kept giving like $25. So effectively, I've got like 6 memberships to the Democratic Party this year. But I think it's basically put me on everybody's solicitation list.
Yeah.
But I never once ever gave my information to Republicans. Although I did give Scott Walker's campaign your email once.
Thanks.
And I suspect he sold it for benefit, and that's why you get all the Trump emails. I wonder if Scott Walker still cashing checks on his email list from when he ran for the presidency.
But doesn't the value of that list start to diminish when you pound, you know, 10 or 20 emails to those folks every single day?
Significantly, according to the math at the Washington Post. And of course, these campaigns have to tell you how much money they're making. So in the years after Donald Trump lost the presidency to Joe Biden, Trump sent so many emails and text messages asking for money that Republican consultants warned his mailing list could become useless. the former president's friends told him that they were being asked for too much too often, and Trump himself ordered aides at one point to slow the solicitations. Some of his fans, pockets emptied, mailed handwritten letters apologizing for not being able to give more. Now, as Trump and Biden prepare for a rematch, Trump's vaunted small-dollar fundraising operation is not bringing in as much money as it once did. In 2020, Trump and his fundraising committee raked in $626 million from small-dollar donors, 35% more than Biden took in from that group. But last year, Trump raised $51 million from small-dollar donors, way down from the $119 million he registered in 2019, and only 18% more than Biden's total. His small-dollar haul, which includes donations of $200 or less, was not nearly enough to offset Biden's lead amongst major donors. Oh, yeah, Biden's got the major donors down. Raised $25 million the other night. So Trump's advisors say that after a slow period, they're now raising $1 million a day online, and the campaign raised $10.6 million in donations last week from 280,000 digital donations. The multiple prosecutions he faces have re-energized his base, and his team expects that small-dollar fundraising numbers will spike ahead of his trial in New York next month. Well, it's this month now.
You should be expecting some more emails then, because if it's spiking, you may as well ask for more.
Well, if it's April 15th that he goes to trial, I don't know about you, Dom, but I got a little money I got to send off to a uncle of mine.
I thought you were just going to, you know, put it off till like October or something. You know, file an extension, Curdy.
We'll
what you normally do, or are you actually on top of it this year?
Oh, no. I don't even have a CPA anymore. I fired my CPA last year. I was so frustrated with the process and the many, many requests for money. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We won't ask you for money. Not today.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
To the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition, Election Eve, Opening Day Eve. Rich will be at the game tomorrow. We'll be here doing our business, Dom. And Trump will be in Green Bay. Are we going to? And I've already said we were, so I hope you're down. Are we going to Mystery Science Theater, the Trump speech? We'll play it.
But we'll trash it in real time. Well, what time is he supposed to start?
Curtis? About 5 o'clock Central Time.
Okay. All right.
You know, just in time to make it on the happier happy hour. We'll see if trash talking is merited tomorrow during the Trump speech. We'll keep you posted. But just since we've been on the air talking about the Trump fundraising prowess, Tom.
Yeah.
I got an email request for money from Trump. I just launched the Trump National Committee. So there's a new fundraising committee, Dom. Trump, Make America Great Again, 2024, sent to, you know, my business email, and they've got my name, Michael Crute. I just launched the Trump National Committee to defeat Joe Biden and restore an America First White House. The Trump National Committee is open for business, and you can be its very first donor.
Oh, exciting.
A new committee to solicit. So what? Another 6 to 8 emails today I'm going to get?
If you're getting too many emails from the same committee, you know, maybe you start tuning it out. But if you get a new committee, it's like making LLCs. I'll just make another one, funnel it to there. We'll see what happens.
Here is what the Trump email solicitation. It's always a solicitation, This committee will be the reason we win in November. Your support carried me through the primaries, but now it's on to Crooked Joe and the General, and I need you now more than ever. Before the day ends, pledge your support for a brand new Trump National Committee and be a day one supporter.
Ooh, day one. Is he still selling those $50 cards? Did he stop doing that? Remember he was doing a little card thing for a minute? Like a membership card?
Oh, the gold card.
That was... Yeah. Remember how long that was? A long time ago. It was like a month ago.
Ultra Mega.
Yeah, that was before the gold shoes, I think, and before the Bibles. It's hard to get, you know, whatever grift he's pushing this
week. Is he still hawking Bibles, or was that just for Holy Week?
Well, I mean, I'm sure if you want.
It's not a limited time offer, I hope.
I mean, I hope not. Isn't every week Holy Week? Because I love Bible.
I love God.
We're going to be pro-God.
Let me wrap up this solicitation. Oh. It's time. I think it's about time we put an end to the historically disastrous Biden agenda and save the country we know and love for the sake of our America and our children's future and the American legacy. If you're with me, be one of the first to show your support with the Trump National Committee today. Pledge your support. Thank you, Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States, of course. We're up to potentially 47, but I'd like to think just an extension of 46. So I looked it up, Dom. This new Trump National Committee is a joint financing committee composed of and authorized by Donald J. Trump for President 2024, Inc., and the Republican National Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to skim off the top, hence the purge placement, the nepotism placement of Laura Trump, the daughter-in-law, you know, and she's got to be a bright girl. She married Eric.
I mean, the grift continues. I mean, look, let me think what's going on here with the Republicans. It has just been taken over, obviously, by Trump and MAGA. The guy's got, you know, $500 million out there he's supposed to come up with, which, by the way, my understanding, he still has not come up with the $100 million. Remember, they lowered the bond amount?
$150 million.
I haven't seen any reporting that that's been paid yet, by the way.
Well, the deadline's not due yet, so you know he's not. Okay. I mean, if he pays it all, he's going to pay at the last minute, Tom.
Come on, man. Now, and what's left of the Republican Party, he's taking, what, 30% off the top?
At least.
He's good luck down ticket Republicans. Where are you going to get your funding from? Not from the RNC.
Well, Dom, here's a question. Do you consider yourself to be well-informed politically?
Much more so than I was when I was a younger man. Absolutely.
Well, perhaps you're the problem.
What?
You might be the problem.
I'm too smart. I care too much. That might be true, Michael.
You care too much.
My biggest fault.
A piece, opinion piece, Jason Willick over at the Washington Post. Dom, I'd like to throw this one out for your consideration. The ideal democratic citizen we learn in high school civics is engaged and informed, confident in his or her understanding of politics and ready to make a difference. But it's hard to look at the current political climate deformed by polarization, saturated with experts, air quotes, overflowing with outrage entrepreneurs, and determine that political intensity on the left or the right is what's lacking from American democracy. The optimal relationship between politics and good citizenship might be due for an update. A paper published March 19th in Public Opinion Quarterly in Oxford University Journal shows that Americans with the highest levels of self-described political knowledge and capabilities are also the most polarized and intolerant of the opposing party.
Polarized and intolerant.
Those are like your middle names, Dom.
I mean, come on. Self-described political knowledge? I mean, every jackass with an internet account who listens to Dan O'Donnell thinks that they are on the scope, man. They are engaged and informed, and to them, they are absolutely self-described political experts.
Well, as Dr. Stapleton and Wollick from the University of Massachusetts and Michigan State University say, Dom, we propose that people's feelings of self-assurance within politics can have a darker side. The paper, Political Self-Confidence and Effective Polarization, analyzes data from the 2020 Cooperative Election Study. It fashions measures of political self-confidence. Oh, you're self-confident as you know what, Dom, based on the participants' responses to a 7-point scale. To the statements, I feel that I have a pretty good understanding of the important political issues facing our country. I'd give myself a 7 on that one, Dom. I consider myself well qualified to participate in politics. Oh, 7+.
Now, give me a 10.
authors controlled for partisanship, race, gender, education, and other factors. And in theory, those whose score highest on the measure are model active citizens like Crudy and maybe even Dom. In practice, the paper finds feelings of self-confidence within the politics are uniquely associated with the expression of out-party animosities. The more you know, the more you hate Republicans, Dom. Or Democrats, as the case may be. And respondents who described higher political self-confidence were also more likely to say they avoid those that disagree with them politically. Similarly, the likelihood of having unfriended someone on social media for political reasons is 8% at the lowest level. You know, for those that barely pay attention to politics, Dom, but 39% those of the highest level of political self-confidence. How many people you block, Dom? How often do you block them onto Facebooks? Do you do it
for
politics?
No, not often.
I blocked the guy the other day.
It's got to be, it's got to be, you know, kind of nasty. Generally, no. While I appreciate this, we can dig a little more into it. But right off the bat, number one, self-informed. I mean, that's obviously subjective. Oh, I'm the smartest guy in the room because I'm the loudest guy in the room. Okay, that may not be the case. But also the times. This is based on 2020. A little different now. You know, remember, we had a little insurrection going on. We had a little fraudulent, you know, elector scheme to try to overturn the election. And we got
they rigged it against Trump, if you believe Trump and Dan O'Donnell.
We have an election coming up, and the ex-president over the weekend, yesterday, you know, the holy day, like freaking out, lunatic tweeting, like 70-plus posts on his Truthy Social about just craziness, all caps style, right? And if we're framing this as a battle for democracy, it's a little bit different than may have been back in the day when it was about whether or not we should have, you know, 20% or 30% capital gains taxes.
Well, apparently I wasn't as outraged because I was enjoying Easter with my family and I wasn't, you know, following along on the Truthy Social death scrolling, Dom. A little bit more from the post, and then I'll make a question of it, Dom. But, and this is key, not everyone condones out-party discrimination equally. Among those with low political self-confidence, approval of partisan discrimination in the vignette was very low. Among those with high political self-confidence, and I'm going to put us in that category, Dom, we've never lacked for self-confidence.
Nope.
Approval was nearly 5 times higher. Self-confidence seems to erode the taboo against political discrimination. Have you met CJ? Those with greater regard for their own political competence can more readily justify treating others differently for partisan reasons. Meanwhile, as the paper concludes, those who doubt their ability to really affect change in politics show less psychological commitment to intra-party battles. And according to the author here, that can be a good thing, Dom. So,
Kurt, hey, let me jump in here.
Let's get to his point.
It may seem anti-democratic to highlight the benefits of political indifference, but that depends on what you think democracy is for. I think this is key. If democracy is primarily a mechanism for translating everyone's considered views into policy as faithfully as possible, then yes, political knowledge and engagement should be its highest ideals. On the other hand, if democracy is a mechanism for ensuring social stability in societies with a wide range of views, then universal political self-confidence can counterproductively amplify passions and conflict. When the United States was less riven with partisan polarization, the insight was more intuitive. Back in 1954, they had a book out called Voting, a Study of Opinion Formation in a Presidential Campaign. This is between Truman and Dewey. They concluded, true, the highly interested voter votes more and know more about the campaign and read and listen more and participate more. However, they're also less open to persuasion and less likely to change. Extreme interest goes in with extreme partisanship and might culminate in rigid fanaticism that could destroy democratic processes if generalized throughout the community.
Well, thank goodness nothing bad's happened since 1954, Dom.
No. The ideal distribution of political self-confidence might vary over time. In the 1950s, American politics was ripe for a surge of interest and engagement to finally reckon with the denial of Black civil rights in the South. But in the 2020s, the major deformity in American democracy is not entrenched oppression, but destabilizing partisanship. Mm. Self-government is the art of balancing between majorities and minorities, between organized interests and the general public, between expert judgments and mass preferences. The Stapleton and Wolak paper should draw renewed attention to another type of balancing between the politically tentative and the politically engaged. And that overlooked relationship is the most destructively out of whack as politically sophisticated partisans drive the system to the brink. Again, this is Jason Willick reporting at the Washington Post. But Crudy, destabilizing partisanship, I don't know that there's a lot of meat in the middle with fascism, with those that want to overturn the government and cancel out my vote. Where's the medium point? Where do we balance that out and have equal sides of, hey, I'm a fascist, you must do what I say, we're going to beat you into it, or those that think that perhaps government should reflect the will of the people?
Well, if you're looking for a little more balance, tune in the 3 o'clock hour with Les Nam. Be less civically engaged. Be less engaged in the body politic.
Idea. Terrible idea.
Well, from my point of view, Dom, we just got to get our audience more engaged, because you're right to judge those deplorable Trumpsters. You have every right to do so. I think you should. If you are well-informed, you wouldn't want to be part of any group that would be, you know, MAGA. So, real Americans, we are politically engaged for all the right reasons, because Dom and Crute tell you to. And because the alternative is chaos and fascism and authoritarianism. And I, through my own wisdom and insights, Dom, find those to be bad things in a governing principle. Come back with us. That's nothing but great ideas and self-confidence. 844-967-2789.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for your take, 844-967-2789. Are we too informed? Is that a thing? We're too dialed into the politics to be able to have our minds be changed? I disagree with that, Crudy. My mind has changed on issues and topics since we started the show 13 years ago.
Yeah, but I've been very persuasive. What can I say? But I would say the more politically confident, I agree with the underpinnings of this report. The more politically confident you are, if you think you know a lot about politics, and I believe I'm in that column, well, certainly I have enough confidence to know I wouldn't vote for a Trump. I don't want to join a cult. I've learned that. And I would say, why do you need a lefty talk radio network? Why do you need a show like us? Because right-wing talk radio has been, quote-unquote, building the self-confidence of the right for years and years, Tom. I mean, when we started doing this, there were 81 right-wing talk radio stations in the state of Wisconsin cranking out 235 hours a week of right-wing talk.
And that does not include the religious channels as well.
No, that doesn't include the Christian conservative channels and the Christian talk stations. The ministering going on the AM radio dials is overwhelming, Dom, especially here in the state of Wisconsin. And I often knew, you know, you'd see guys like Russ Feingold, they'd be doing okay and they'd be ahead in the polling, and then they would start to fade. And I had always thought, in no small part, that was because right-wing guys like Ron Johnson were pounding their message, often for free, on right-wing talk radio. The New York Times did a story about Ron Johnson in the 2022 reelective campaign. He had done 325 hours of on-air interviews up to that point in, I believe, October. He had done 325 hours of radio interviews on air, local or national radio shows. We saw Donald Trump go on local radio this morning on Clan O'Donnell's show on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. And no pushback. I mean, they're supported in their messaging. They all build the confidence. When Donald Trump goes out there and pants on fire lies and says, you know, they did find I won with the state of Wisconsin in 2020. There's no pushback. So I'm hearing the confidence of the host reinforcing the subject of the interview. Tell their audience, oh, yeah, man, he got screwed. Right. Our guy got screwed, right? So you talk about political self-confidence. Dude, most of the people that are super self-confident that I know in life are often the most ignorant human beings I know. They have one specific area of personal knowledge, or they're completely misinformed on an area. You know, they overestimate their own knowledge.
It builds their
self-confidence, and it's
overcompensating perhaps for things they don't know. If you're, again, you're an expert, look at Aaron Rodgers, you know, very good at one part, maybe should lay off the immunology.
844-967-2789. Is the problem that we have you too informed and have made you too partisan? Because here's what I would say. This author's greater opinion. Sure. Great in theory. But we don't have another party willing to compromise and meet us in the middle. So if our education leads our audience to be more partisan than blue, well, I think they're finally getting it, Dom. They are absorbing the information we're putting out there for them, because we lead with truth and we source our facts, or at least the opinions that we offer here on the radio. They don't just come from my butt like Dan O'Donnell's normal show does. So I guess my point is this, Dom. I want confident blue team voters. I need those people telling their neighbors. I need minions telling their neighbors. A, always listen to the devil's advocates. They never steer you wrong. They're super cool and entertaining and all that stuff. They've got lots of self-confidence, those guys.
Yeah, just ask them.
But B, you should have the confidence to be able to discern the difference between the truth and a lie. And if you're informed by us or by yourself of the truth and you're able to recognize a liar, well, I wouldn't say that makes you more partisan. I'd say that makes you smarter and wiser. 844-967-2789. Or be like Diamond, never learn. Wisco Paul, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Great subject here. If you are lied to by a news media, Fox, and they were lied to people that were listening to it, and it is proven that you were lied to, but you still watch it, there is little hope for you.
Of course, on Fox, Wisco Paul, they tell them, we're the only ones telling you the truth. This is what the mainstream media won't cover. You're only getting the truth here. You're only getting the truth from Trump.
But if with the voting machine deal, if you could sue it for the amount of money they got sued for, I forget what it was.
$1.6 billion, which settled for like $900 million, pardon me.
Yeah.
Less than a billion, but still a hell of a lot of money, Wisco.
Right. So that means they were lying to you. But the thing that bothers me the most, and I'll make this quick, is the hate. I mean, it's an out-and-out hate. And they'll go as far as to say they hate Democrats, and that's raised things to a new level. And actually, it's almost a scary level that you would use that kind of hate. And I don't care if you're Hannity or who you are. They basically are preaching hate of the Democrats. Well, if I'm a Democrat, for goodness sake, I don't want to say anything. Because these people are fired up.
Well, let me ask you, Wisco Paul. So, do you hate Donald Trump? Did you want to impeach the MF-er as Rashida Tlaib? Perhaps inarticulately said aloud. Come on, man. I know you felt some of that sentiment, Wisco.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody like Donald Trump, somebody that wants to take my democracy away, the vote away, and he did incite a riot on J6. So, yeah, I guess I got to admit, Trudy, I hate the man because I know he's...
I think that just makes you well-informed, Wisco Paul.
Listen, Paulie, and thanks for the call. I mean, I always appreciate your take, but hate is such a... such a raw emotion. It takes so much out of you. You got to care a lot to hate the man. I mean, we know what the man is. I don't hate the man. I think he should face his justice. Certainly should never be anywhere near the White House again. I don't hate the man. I actually, in some ways, feel sorry for the guy. He's a broken human being. and he's going to end up the last end of his life as a POS, perhaps in jail. Now, do I hate what he did to this country? Sure. I don't like those actions. I think the division and the narcissism that's dividing this country is shameful. I don't like that. But to hate somebody, come on. You gotta spend a lot of time and emotion to come up with that kind of emotion.
Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler, a happier happy hour. I hate that you don't hate enough. Come back with us. Suave.